بعلمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, in the ayat which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared the hurmat of riba. Allah ta'ala ne sood ko is ayat mein haram qarar diya hai. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, stay away from riba and stay away from sood and stay away from interest if you are true believers. And today we would like to speak about the ayats and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to riba and interest. And it might surprise us that despite it being very widespread, there are very few deeds which have been so severely condemned in Islam the way interest and riba has been condemned in Islam. In the Quran, at least, there is nowhere in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war upon a person for doing a particular act other than taking interest. فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا, if you do not stay away from interest, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, says Allah in the third surah of the Holy Quran, then in Surah Baqarah, then be prepared to wage war against Allah and His Rasul. Allah Ta'ala ne kya sood ke khilaaf Allah Ta'ala ne e'lan-e-jang ka peygham diya hai. This is the reality Allah has given. And there are very sound reasons, as you will go on to make mention. And the interest has been haram not only in Islam. It has always been haram in all previous scriptures, na sirf Islam mein, lekin pehle mazahib mein bhi, and you find reference with regard to it. And yesterday I was looking through some of the reference, and you find in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 19, thou shall not lend upon usury to thy brother. But what they have done very, very cleverly today, distortion is the name of the game. So what they have done is they have made a difference between interest and usury. So what they have said is interest is not illegal, only usury. Usury, the difference is if you take interest at an exorbitant rate, then it is wrong. But if you take little within 33%, within 32% according to the law of South Africa, then it is permitted. But the previous scripture doesn't speak about little or less. So you find this in Deuteronomy, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Then in another verse in the previous scriptures, he that by usury an unjust gain increaseth his wealth and his sustenance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor, in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 8. Now that is in a previous scripture. But the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made mention of it is unique. Allah ta'ala says, with regard to when Allah made interest haram, then the people of Makkah, they objected. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَا. Why has Allah made interest haram? Allah ne kyun isko haram kiya hai? Ye to tijarat ke manin hai. Ye to tijarat ke barabar hai. It is just like trade. They said, it is just like trade. And look at how many people will say, but what is the difference? You're buying an item for 10 rand and you're selling it for 12 rand. And interest is also, you're taking something and you're getting more in return. What's the difference? There are many differences. Because when you look at the definition of interest, it is kullu ziyadatin la yuqabiluha iwad. Every increase in which there is nothing in return. any increase which there is nothing in return. For example, in trade, there is something in return. Whether a person might be charging in one shop 14 rand, another shop 16 rand, another one 17 rand. But at the end of the day, you're buying an item for whether it be 14, 15, 16, 17 rand. In interest, there is an increase in which in return there is nothing. Right? So there is a difference. But look at how Allah, when Allah spoke about how the people of Makkah said, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. Yeh tum tijarat ki maanin hai. Allah Ta'ala, when he replied to this, didn't give the reasons. What is the difference between trade and interest? What did Allah say? وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعِ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Allah says, I'm the Almighty. I'm the All-Wise. I know what is good for you. I've got more knowledge at one I've got than you. And I have declared trade is permissible and riba is haram. Allah didn't give no reason. Such an authoritative way Allah has declared it haram. I have made trade halal. I have made riba haram. Do you believe in me as your creator? Do you believe in me to be all wise? Do you believe in me to be all knowing? If such, then listen to my commands. I have permitted trade and I have made riba haram. Now that is with regard to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared the hurmat of it. Now there are sound reasons with regard to why Allah has made sood haram. Why he has made riba haram. Why he has made interest haram. So we know haram hone ke tos wujuhat hai. There is very severe and beautiful reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made riba haram. The greatest reason is Allah himself has declared it as haram. Huh? And that is a reality. Sabse bari wajah ye hai ki Allah ta'ala ne mana kiya hai. Aur uske khilaaf elan jang kiya hai. But let us look at some of the reasons. You see, Allah ta'ala, for us to remain in this world, we need compassion and kindness. We need compassion and kindness. To be able to live in this world, especially in today's time, when compassion and kindness just seems to have departed from our vocabulary. It is in such short supply. But where interest becomes rife, there will be no kindness and compassion. Where interest system becomes rife, you will find that more and more kindness and compassion is taken away from the people. And that's what we are finding in the world today. Why is it that we find things that are happening in Syria? We are finding things happening in the world, and it doesn't even stir any emotion within us. Or if it does, it is for a very little while, and it does not sustain that type of kindness and compassion, because riba has taken away that kindness and compassion which we are supposed to show to one another. This is a reality with regard to it. And today, the way Nabi Kareem SAW had said in a hadith, يَعْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ يَعْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى فَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْكُلْهُ أَسَابَهُ مِنْ غُبَارِهِ. A time will come that nearly everyone will take part in riba. And even those who stay away from it, the smoke of riba will still come to them. The effects of it will come. And that's what we are in this world today. So kindness and compassion is taken away. Now look at a person who is in need. Now he wants to come to borrow. He wants to borrow money. He wants to take a loan. But the person who wants to give him a loan doesn't care with regard to his plight. He say, I will give you, but I want to take benefit from it. I want to take benefit from you. I don't care what your position is. I don't care what your situation is. I want my pound of flesh. I want my benefit. So how is kindness and compassion ever going to come in such a system which has become so widespread that even if you give a loan, you give, how can I benefit? Remember one thing, in Islam, you can't benefit from your loan. It is haram to benefit from your loan. كُلُّ قَرَزٍ جَرَّ نَفْعَ فَهُوَ رِبَى. Any loan that you give in which you benefit, it is riba, it is haram. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, if he had given someone a loan, and remember this, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, because he was a trader, when he gave someone a loan, he shouldn't even walk in the shadow of his house. He said, this particular house has got a shadow. He's got some sort of shade. If I walk past it, people will say you are benefiting from his house shade. You gave him a loan and now you are trying to show and benefit from that. He shouldn't even walk in the shade of a person's house whom he had forwarded a loan. In Islam, it's very clear. If you want to give someone a loan, you do it for the sake of Allah. You do it for the sake of reward. And according to some riwayats, it is even more rewarding than sadaqah and charity. If you want a benefit, if you want a benefit, then don't call it a loan. Then you call it and you become a partner in giving that money. So then you share in the risk. You share in the profit and the loss. So then you don't call it a loan. Then you call it an investment. Then you call it a musharakat. Then you call it a partnership. In today's world, what happens? The bank gives you the money. Thereafter, what happens to you? They don't care one bit whatsoever. They want their pound of flesh. So whether you die, your family dies, your father dies, the entire business comes to a standstill, it won't matter one bit. Their particular money must come to them with interest. How can kindness and compassion ever come close to a situation like that? Huh? And that is a reality. Narmi aur shafqat ka surat ke qareeb naam o nishan bhi nahi hai. We'll never be able to have kindness and compassion. And it is loaded in favor of the one who gives the loan. And that is why we find that today the rich are becoming more richer, the poor are becoming more poorer. So the first aspect with regard to it is that in a interest-laden society, kindness and compassion does not find root. It actually goes away. The second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made sood haram, the second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst other reasons, have made it haram is Allah in the Holy Quran has mentioned the objective of an Islamic system. That wealth must not circulate amongst few people. It must reach as many people as possible. Islam doesn't envisage that everyone must be equal in terms of wealth. No, no. Allah Ta'ala has made mention that Allah has given some people more, some people less. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly mentioned that Allah does not like a system in which wealth only comes in the hands of few people. Let me just conclude. And the other point, the one of the aspects with regard to it, because, you know, there is no kindness and compassion because people only become greedy all the time for wealth. And this has become dominant in our society. Because of the interest that has become dominant in our society, people have become so greedy. And this is one little bit of a humorous incident. And this is a reality where today we only look in terms of wealth and greed. So a person was looking rather glum. A person was looking rather sad. So someone comes to him and said, "Why are you sad?" He said, "You know what happened? 2 weeks ago, my uncle passed away. He left me 50,000 rand in inheritance. And I got 50,000 rand in inheritance." "Okay, very good. Last week, you know what happened? My grandfather passed away and I inherited 1 million. So he said, "Why are you sad?" He said, "This week, no one passed away." That's how we have become. That's how we have become in our situation. We only look at that. The second reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst other reasons, is Allah ta'ala says, "Kay la yakuna dulatan bayna al-aghniya'i minkum." That wealth must not remain only in the hands of few people. Now just look at this particular aspect. Mufti Taqi Usmani, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a long life. He gave a talk in the World Economic Forum in Davos, and he spoke about the harms of interest. And he gave certain statistics. This was about 3 years back, I think in 2014 he spoke. And he gave the example of America, where he says that 1% of the population owns 35% of the wealth of America. 1%. They own 35%. He says if you calculate it rather a little bit differently, then you will find that if you take away the homes of people, which today is not regarded to be a great asset because it's regarded to be a necessity, then 1%, they own 47% of the wealth in America. 1%. Then after that, there are people who are in the middle income. The wealthiest 20%, they own 85% of the wealth. And the entire 85% of the population, 80% of the population, 80% of the population, they own 15% of the entire wealth. And this is against an Islamic system. The 1% owns 35, or according to another calculation, 47% of the wealth. Now that is in America. And in the third world countries, it is even more worse. Then Mufti Taqi Sahib goes on to give an example of Pakistan. And this statistic is shocking. It's startling. He said 0.1%, 0.1%, not even 1%, 0.1% of the loans that are taken by the 0.1% of the wealthiest in Pakistan, it accounts for 69% of the total savings of the people who have deposited money in the banks. 69% of the entire savings of the people which have been put into the banks of Pakistan, only 0.1% get loans. And do you realize why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this haram? Because sood amir ko amir tar aur gharib ko gharib tar bana deta hai. And then you will find a time will come where we find in situations where there is social upheaval, where the poor are becoming more and more becoming dispossessed, they are becoming more and more brazen, they are becoming more frustrated. And in the frustration, then it reaches a situation where it causes social upheaval in the community and society. And all of this because of the captains of industry. And we, as we are, we will blame other factors, but we don't see beyond what are the actual reasons, right? So that is the other reason. Another reason why, amongst other reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram is, in Islam, money has been looked upon as a means of exchange, not as a commodity in itself. With money, you cannot satisfy your hunger directly. No one can eat money and become full and satiated. I don't know if anyone can do that. Maybe perhaps a time will come and we'll think money can do that also. Or money will be able to satiate your thirst. So money is a means of exchange, not a commodity in itself. And it is a judge between commodities. And today it has been treated as a commodity. So money becomes a means of judging between commodities. So through the means of 100 rand, you will be able to buy this compared to this. It becomes a means of judging between commodities rather than a commodity in itself. And today people will say, what do ulama know? But Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, one of our great ulama of the past, Ihya ul-Ulum, he wrote The Revival of Sciences. 900 years ago he wrote this. 900 years ago Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi wrote, Islam has prohibited interest because it prevents people from undertaking real economic activity. Remember what I'm saying? Islam has prohibited interest because it prevents people from undertaking real economic activity. And what if you do economic activity like trade? When you, for example, have manufacturing and you have trade, the entire society benefits. People get risk, you get great jobs. But if you are only going to make money through the means of the stock exchange or only through the means of interest, then who is going to undertake real economic activity? And if there is no real economic activity that takes place, the unemployed will become even more unemployed. And the rate of unemployment will go even higher up. And that will, you will see what is going to happen in the society. This hampers the interests of humanity. For the interests of humanity cannot be safeguarded without real trade, real industry, and real circulation of wealth. And that will never happen through the means of interest. Because in interest, as I've given examples, the poor will become more poorer, the rich will become more richer. And therefore, I'm telling people that, you know, whatever we make a joke with regard to it, engage in trade, engage in manufacturing. There is benefit for us because 90% of rizq Allah has kept in trade. Even if there are difficulties, even if you say there's labor problems, go and do it because it is closer to the sunnah, more closer to an Islamic model. We'll make a joke with regard to it that, you know, you don't find Indians and Pakistanis who are playing football because every time they get a corner, they open up a shop. But all of that is on its place. We have to still, because in that there is real economic activity. If there isn't all of that, you will find what will happen in society. And that is the reason why today the intelligent people in the world are looking at Islam as a solution for the problems of the world in terms of economic activity. The sad situation is we who are Muslims, the Muslim countries, we have not been able to understand the real depth and the beauty of our system to be able to present it to people. So these are some of the reasons. But amongst all of that, another reason is it creates deception. Now look at this deception, which is so common in our community. You look at a person who's got great amount of wealth, he's got the signs of trappings of wealth, he's got prosperity, he's got a car, and he's got beautiful homes. And everyone feels that this man is successful. Let me go and emulate him. Not knowing that what is his reality. Many a times his outer trimmings of wealth is based only on interest. And in the inside, if you look at it, is kokla. If you look inside, there is nothing. But because of what he outer trimming, everyone wants to emulate him. And then in emulating them, people get further more encouraged. They get more further in debt. So it creates a society full of deception. And I don't need to tell you with regard to what's happening in our community. That is why the harms of riba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّتَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. That a person who takes riba, he will get up on the day of Qiyamah like the one who is intoxicated. He will be intoxicated, he will be drunk. The reason is, in dunya he was drunk for wealth. Allah will raise him also on the day of Qiyamah, he will be intoxicated. Dunya mein wo jo hai maal ki wajah se madhosh tha, Allah ta'ala usko qiyamat ke din mein madhoshi jo hai na wo utayega inshallah. Aise hi hoga. Because of what he has done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned, ittaqullaha wadharu ma baqiya min ar-riba. Stay away from riba if you are true believers. Fa illam taf'alu, if you do not do so, fa'adhanu bi harbin min Allahi wa rasuli. And if you do not do so, then be prepared to wage war against Allah and His Rasul. Can anyone be successful if he wages war against Allah and His Rasul? Can anyone be successful? And because of these harms, you see, we must also, people mustn't look at it as a broad level. I'm a small person. When you are engaged in it, you are involved in it, you are helping the system. And when you are helping the system, you are helping a system of oppression and injustice. That is why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, as Jabir radiallahu anhu said, La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akil al-riba wa mukilahu wa katibahu wa shahidehi. Allah has cursed the person who takes. Allah has curses the person who gives. Allah has cursed the person who writes. And Allah has curses the person who witnesses any particular transaction of interest. And Allah Ta'ala has said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, Wahum sawa. They are all equal. They are all equal in guna and sin. That is why it's important. And another thing that people, and maybe let's conclude with this, many times people say, well, we are taking, look at how good we are doing. Huh? Yamhaqullahu riba. Allah Ta'ala says the time will come, Allah will destroy interest. For a while you will see, you see, every growth is not positive. If a person goes, for example, and all of a sudden he gets a great tumor here on his body, and he goes to them and tell people, look at growth. Huh? Look at the growth. People will say it's a growth, but it's not a, it's a malignant growth. It's not a positive growth. Any growth that comes into your well through the means of interest is not a positive growth. وَيُرْبِ السَّرَقَاتِ Allah Ta'ala increases charity. You give charity, Allah will give you more. But if you give, take interest, Allah Ta'ala will destroy your wealth in time to come. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said in a hadith, مَا أَحَدٌ أَكْثَرَ مِنَ الرِّبَى إِلَّا كَانَ عَاقِبَتَهُ أَمْرِهِ إِلَىٰ قِلَّةٍ. No matter how much plentiful interest is, it will lead towards poverty. It will lead towards less. A time will come, and in some riwayats I remember reading, in 40 years you will find the decrease of interest. So brothers, this is not an ordinary matter. It is a very serious matter. I've just very briefly touched on some of the aspects and some of the ayats and the hadith in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has warned us with regard to it. As believers, it's our duty that we take every step, whatever is within our means, to stay away from it. In whatever way, don't even come close or near to it, because it only brings the wrath and the anger of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.